Hi, I'm Dan.
And I'm Eric.
And you are due for a sharpening. Bingo!
Ovejo. Yeah,
I can't do cricket noises. Yeah, dead air. Could you cool it with the crackers?
We should learn how to do cricket noises. We're going to need to utilize that in the future.
Yeah, because we know people on the listening end of this are just thinking it. So we may as well do it for them.
Right.
Cricket. But we'll throw a little thing on the bottom here. A little bouncing Disney sing-along ball where the crickets aren't.
And then just play Let's Go to the Lobby because we're done.
Because I didn't get snacks.
Right.
Yeah. And it's making my neck hurt. I don't know.
You get the neck thing.
I got the neck. You know, it wasn't. And then I went right back to it. So, yeah. Gentlemen, nice to see you.
You as well.
Great to be seen on the scene. Yeah.
I'm glad that we're seeing you after such a crazy weekend.
Which one had the crazy weekend?
I had a crazy weekend.
You had the crazy weekend.
I did. I'm really excited. I got to see my first hockey game. Isn't that wild? But not the wild.
Right.
Yeah. Your first NHL, live NHL hockey
game. I've seen other hockey games, but like my first NHL game, I went to the Wings game. I went to saw the Wings and the Islanders, and I got to see the 25th anniversary of the 98 Cup. That was really, really cool.
That's
all of the players, like
what a first game
out on the ice.
You get to see the Stanley Cup.
Yes, it was. I was so disappointed. I tried to get close. There was a line about maybe 50 to 75 deep at any point to take a selfie with it. So I tried to get close, and we were like, "Okay, we're gonna get in line." And just as we got in line, the guy with the white gloves comes over and takes it, and he's like, "Oh, we gotta leave. It's gotta leave." And I was like, but
it's there.
And I didn't want to leave the game to go take a picture with it because it was the first time at Little Caesars, and
right, you gotta watch the fantastic game.
Oh yeah, you don't leave games.
And we got to see a 3-0 shutout. It was fantastic. Amazing space, amazing arena. Awesome. It makes me really angry. I am in Northeast Wisconsin, and we have no hockey anywhere near us outside of E3 college hockey. And we have the Green Bay Gamblers, I guess you could say, but yeah, we don't have any pro hockey near us. It makes me angry because I want more. I don't want to drive 8 hours to get to it.
Yeah, I feel like the best hockey around is probably the Badgers, but they haven't been good in years.
Yeah.
Yeah. The USHL usually go on to play college, right? That's that tier level.
Yeah.
So like you'll be in the USHL if you're draft age eligible, and then it'll be like, oh, he's committed to Wisconsin
right
next year. Okay. So yeah, you'd have to go to Madison to see hockey like that. But it's just college is really great for its own reasons. I think everyone who's like a big follower of basketball or football understand that. People always say that it's different from the pro level, so you enjoy one for one reason and you enjoy another for another reason. And I just think maybe hockey takes the cake in that realm, because I don't ever hear people who are like, oh, I prefer college hockey to NHL.
I've heard that before, actually.
I guess I get it if it's a hometown thing, like, okay, I've been going to see
and that's cool,
my college team, local college team, for 30 years, and I have season tickets, which is great. They're very fun. But the level of play, it's not even in the same, I wasn't going to say ballpark, because that's just
not even close, dude.
Like with the pro level in the NHL, they ship them in from all over the damn world. And you just don't get that on any other level to that extreme. I mean, it's like you have, college is like everyone is the best player in their state for their age, and you make the college team. And that's like the good, like the ones with the really good programs, like Michigan, Big Ten, Notre Dame. Yeah. Right. But the NHL is like, what? It's the best player out of an entire college conference.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
It's equivocal to that being on a on an NHL roster, you know?
Which just goes to show when you think about like guys like Cale Makar, who came straight out of winning championship and goes and plays playoff NHL hockey and just dominates from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like you can't.
Didn't he lose? He lost in the Frozen. In
oh,
the
yeah, they lost. That's what it was. And that's why he was able to play. He
scored his first NHL goal
in his first the playoffs. Game, right?
Yeah, in his first. Oh, my God. The kids.
Yeah, it's like you can't teach that type of just understanding.
All the players in the NHL are that good, and we're still like, God, that guy fucking sucks. Like,
fucking trade hit the fucking net.
Because the talent pool is just absurd. So, and that guy is really good. And that's the whole thing with like drafting. It's all a big crapshoot because you don't know if they're going to translate to the next level. But when they do, I think there's the older you get or the more you understand the game, there's the subtleties of which players are good and why. And then some people, I don't know if it's immaturity or if it's that, like I call it Chell brain, way that younger kids look at, you damn kids. That's what we're going to sound like now. I was playing hockey at Lakeview and there were kids that like didn't have school that day. And they were all in the locker room. It was a lot of fun because like with the hair and everything, they're like, oh, it's Eric Carlson. So they were calling me Eric Carlson. So I'd call somebody something back based off of what they looked like, same they were doing to me. And I'd always get like a correction. So I called this one kid Cole Caulfield. Yeah, you look like Caulfield, because he did. He looked like Cole Caulfield looks like he has braces, even though he doesn't have braces, because he's like a little boy.
Yeah, right? He should have braces.
He is. He's a fresh-faced, tiny little man.
Yeah.
And so was this kid, but for real. And when I called him Caulfield, he was like, I'm Zegras. So he, you know, big fan of Zegras. But then when we were in the locker room afterward, they were all talking about what players they liked. And it was very much in between them saying, I'm going to go play some Chell. Right. So very Chell, right. Or they love playing NHL on PlayStation or Xbox. And all their favorite players they were listing were very much, it was all based off of like what the video game rating has on those players.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So you've got McDavid was
Matthews
mentioned Matthews. Very much the newer crop of players, right? Yeah. And none of them said anything about defensemen, which is interesting too. And that all ties into like, what did they look like when they were on the ice? What were they attempting to do?
Right. Probably just doing the Michigan and getting their, you know, heads knocked off for having their head down.
Right. And I was doing it because they're all young children. So, of course, I was having a ball, just slashing and whacking from behind, and taking my skate off and just, you know, bashing boarding. Them to pieces. All that.
The only guy ever. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was me. That's my record now.
Happy Gilmore, everybody.
Gilmore Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me think that there was a big lack of, seemingly the way they were talking, a lack of like team following on their part. Like, do they soak up all their pro hockey by just playing the video games? And I mean, at one point I was like, do you guys even watch full hockey games? You know, because the way you're talking is like, it's hook, line and sinker buying and swallowing what the NHL's media is pushing. And I don't mean that like some weird, you know, Jews control the government, you know, I shit in a hole in the ground conspiracy way or whatever. I just, mean, like, you know, the NHL clearly wants to push the high scores and the flashy whatever. So when Dreisaitl gets the same amount of points as McDavid every year, you don't see as many Dreisaitl promos as you do McDavid. Right. And these kids wouldn't buy that either, because Dreisaitl he's kind of a throwback, like the way he skates,
right?
You know, he's
the
kind of
blade, the Datsuk blade.
Yeah. He's like a skinnier Lucic. He almost has that like bent over. He's just not your typical thing, that prototypical player that like these new Chell brain kids are going to like. Not as flashy. Right. you know. And I also picked up on like how far back their knowledge of players go. And no one was saying like last year. Right. So yeah. It's like one of them said it was who the best goalie is. And someone said Vasilevsky. And the kid goes, well, like, oh, and these kids have potty mouths. Holy God. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone out there.
You think we swear a lot.
Right. Everyone out there, your 13-year-old kids talk like monsters in the locker room. All right.
Yeah.
But I didn't hear anything like racy or mean or bullying. So you can write that off the list and go straight to you guys shouldn't swear at all because we're right. in this room with you.
Be proud of these, you know, stereotypical kids that aren't yours.
Right. They're very good little. No, they're all little sacks of shit, honestly.
Bastards.
I was going to town on the ice. Those little. Yeah. A lot of blood. Yeah. A lot of blood and baby teeth.
The old what for.
The old what for, indeed. What for it. The one kid was like, fuck that. It's Shesterkin. And that's when I had to pipe up. It's like, look, Shesterkin's obviously like the new phenom for sure, but it comes down in this case to whoever's got the most cups is the better goalie.
Yeah.
You know,
well, like not only that, had one breakout season happened to go to the finals. Like Vasilevsky's been doing it for fucking 8 years.
Well, yes, he goes to the conference finals and who fucking beats him?
Yeah, Vasilevsky.
Vasilevsky, yeah. Absolute shutdown monster of a goalie.
Yeah.
So we're not here to discuss that shit. It was just about whoever the new hot item is. That seemed to be where those kids' brains went. So it really also, like I said, reflected in the lack of admiration or reverence for defensemen in the game.
Right.
So I don't know if that's just something that they're going to have to eventually learn, the subtleties that you can't get it all done with one flashy player, although they can leave a big mark.
You know, hopefully their coaches do what our coaches used to do to us and make us play defense, even if we didn't want to, so they can at least get an appreciation for how hard that position is and how much more it means.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was even in not juniors, but like pre-juniors when Wayne Gretzky was playing, you know, way ahead of his age. He had what, like 300 goals per season when they were playing like 45 game seasons. It's just absurd. And his dad was like, you know, you kind of done it all here, but you can't move on because you're not old enough. Why don't you play D for a year?
Right.
And man, if that didn't teach him a lot. So, but this, you know, this again is the us being old, cratchety and cranky because we're talking about old players and we're like shitting on these kids who are talking about, but not one of them mentioned Ovi.
Which is crazy because he's making history in front of our eyes.
All the time.
All the time. And he just did the other night.
He did.
Which is why we're here.
The big movie. We wouldn't be here without that thing. Or we would be talking about something else.
Yeah.
This is what we landed on in last week's meeting.
So if you're not aware, Ovechkin just passed Gordie Howe's record for most goals scored with one NHL franchise. The previous record, Gordie's record, was 786 goals. And
Detroit.
Right. And last Saturday, Ovi passed it with 787 and has since scored like two or three more goals. But and that's considering that all of Ovechkin's goals are with one team.
Yeah. And I know I was watching it, but did he tie Gordy's record against Detroit or did he? OK, so he tied it against Detroit.
Tied it against Detroit. And then I think he broke it against the Coyotes.
Yeah. So if anyone doubts the existence of the fabled hockey gods, Ovechkin tied the guy's record against the guy's team.
You can't make that shit up.
You can't. You could make it up, but it wouldn't happen.
Right.
Just because you wanted it to, Disney.
It sounds a lot like the Rangers are coming to town.
Mystery Land. Yeah, exactly. Oh, dude. Okay, so little addendum. I can't believe
another one.
I can't believe I missed this. But the last episode, we talked about the movie Mystery Alaska. In the movie, when they're talking on the TV, Barry Melrose and Chris Chelios, and they're talking about how it's this big joke that the Rangers are going to be forced by the NHL to go play this game against a bunch of Eskimos and not see their families on Christmas and shit. They're like, on to real hockey news. This month's star of the month is Wayne Gretzky, and he scored whatever. You know what team Wayne Gretzky was on when that movie was made?
The Rangers.
The fucking New York Rangers.
And he didn't play, that's for
and
sure.
And he didn't come off that giant space helicopter and play that's with funny. The rest of the team, dude.
I totally didn't even, that slipped completely past me.
So here's what you do.
Giant hole in that story. That's great.
Here's what you do. If you're going to make a movie like that with the exact same plot, and you go, what team should we make believe is going to go to our make believe town and make believe play hockey? Don't pick the one with the most famous player on it
of all time.
Until you can guarantee that player's participation in your movie.
Right.
And that is signed, sealed, delivered.
Which it's almost a consolation that they didn't have any real players in the movie just to make it be like, yeah, we're not even adhering to this whatsoever, let alone getting Gretzky in here.
Yeah.
But either way,
I could see that.
Maybe they could have just chosen a different clip to play in the background of that scene.
So no one gets reminded that Gretzky's not coming to town.
They blew the entire budget on just being able to say the name New York Rangers.
Right, and have their logos.
There was no more money left over for Gretzky or anybody else. It was yeah.
So we gotta get Russell Crowe because we already spent all our money.
Right. Russell Crowe, of course, is the Wayne Gretzky of
Mystery Alaska.
Of Mystery Alaska. Exactly. We need to have a moment of silence for everything. I also thought it was on that note that it was funny that Chris Chelios was like punditing when he was very much in his NHL career at that time. Like, well, I guess you can go on ESPN if you're playing, but anyway, Ovi, right?
Yes.
Ovi passed Gordy and none of those little shits mentioned it, but it makes you think about eras in sports. I don't know. I've often heard people say maybe you should like retire eras in sports because the logistics and the surrounding anything were so different, especially when you're getting like really old sports like baseball.
Yeah.
Where they still keep records but that's the part I love the most. I love that everything is weighed on like ghosts of the past. I love it. With the stats and who you're passing and all the way up to like in the NHL, there's been talks over the last handful of years. Should they update the names of the trophies that the players win for yearly feats? Because, no one knows who Conn Smythe is.
That's how you learn.
Yeah. If you're like that lazy about it, like no one knows how. Well, people without Google survived and didn't give a shit that the trophy was called the Conn Smythe trophy. Now you can ask your phone. Hey, Siri. Who was Conn Smythe?
Yeah, that's it.
Constantine I, also known as Constantine the Great, was Roman emperor from AD 363.
Wrong.
That's funny.
No, that's
don't ask Siri.
I didn't know that about the Conn Smythe trophy.
Me either.
Emperors. Yeah.
Yeah. Roman Empire.
All right. Maybe we should update the names of these things.
Maybe you should just get.
We're going all the way back to ancient Rome.
Hey, hockey's been around for a while.
It was pond hockey, man.
Field pond.
Right. Except you got pillaged and murdered when you lost.
Right, stoned to death for letting in too many goals.
Right, it's like me playing against a bunch of 13-year-olds at dropping high.
Yeah.
To pieces.
I personally don't think we should ever retire eras. I think that calling it an era in and of itself is its retirement.
Yeah.
Because you're segregating these parcels of time already by having them be their own eras. So it's kind of goes without saying that they're going to be different. And when you hear that argument of, what if this guy played back in the day when they had leather skates and wood sticks, would he be as good or vice versa? If Gordie Howe played today, would he be as good of a player as he was back then?
Well, yeah, I mean, they wouldn't be like time transplants. And I'm agreeing with you here because I know that's what you're saying. Where they don't understand what they're getting themselves into.
Right. Yeah. It's not, you're not traveling in time.
Yeah. So the answer is yes, they would be as good. It all depends on the, did they play in the dead puck era? Did they play in the crazy Gretzky 80s where, you know, like we were saying earlier, maybe like if the effort you put in now gets you one goal, it got you three
right
in the early to mid 80s. Right. But yeah, you'd be as good because that's what you knew. And that's, it's not about, I mean, saying that you wouldn't survive then, I mean, or is it, are they saying if we put Wayne Gretzky now, because this is just absurd, if this is really what they mean by this, because it's like, there's so many like time space continuum fucking rules you'd have to go by or bend or break that in the end, you'd be like, just shut up. That question's not that.
Yeah, this is stupid.
You know what? In fact, if Wayne Gretzky could get put back in like Gordie Howe's, I would like sabotage it just to ruin your day. I'm like, no, that's not happening. We're not doing that, you know, because that's ridiculous. So you want us to take Wayne Gretzky's like equipment that he played with and the rules of the game and all of his knowledge of it and just like put him in 1947 and be like, play. Are you going to survive Gordie Howe and Ted Lindsay if you play against them? If that's what they mean by how would he play then? Then who gives a shit? Because that's too much stuff.
That's just a bad movie.
Yeah.
That's the plot.
It's Mystery Alaska 2.
Yeah.
Right.
Electric Boogaloo. Boogaloo.
Well, I think that there's like a natural obsolescence that occurs that like in all sports. I mean, you look at basketball now, like comparing what, so it's always like MJ versus LeBron. There's two different games. I mean, right now, like the game is shoot a three and then jump into someone so you can get a foul. And then the NFL is so different now because we have a different number of games. And so all the records are going to get broken because they have an extra game to do it. And
yeah,
baseball is completely, I mean, everything, the games evolve either through the rules or through playing styles. What becomes popular. And I think also too, I think it does tie into the idea of like fantasy. I think we almost live in the fantasy world at this point where I think those kids that you're talking about are like, I root for that one player just as they do, because that's, I have a fantasy team, you know, like right. And so a team allegiance doesn't necessarily fit into that as well. So I think that we're just in an era where there's so much more access and so much more stuff. And I think that the rules and the games themselves will naturally evolve and people just are obsolete because of it. And right. So I don't think there's any stopping it.
No. And yeah, like the analytics and just the stats driven era that we're in right now.
Yes.
Is everyone. And that's why the NHL has been pushing for higher goals since the 05 lockout, you know, trying to find ways, make the goalies pads smaller again, change overtime to 3-on-3 and have it be 5 minutes instead of another period.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Gretzky said that about the goalie equipment. The only way to make more goals happen would be to drastically shrink the size of goalie equipment, because that's what he played against. But then again, it's like, here comes that thing again. He played against small goalie equipment, but that's not the only thing about the goalies that was different than today's goalies. They just weren't as good.
Yeah.
They weren't as good. So if you see like what was needed to, in the sense of like shooting on net, you did not need to be as good shooting on net to score against these goalies. And that wasn't just because their pads were smaller. However, in order to get to a shooting position to begin with decades ago, you had to skate through this gauntlet of legal holds and hooks. And go back and watch a game from the early 2000s, even before the lockout, right? And the game, it's like you said, I mean, the game is so different, because one thing you're going to notice is maybe there's two players on every team that really have like a smooth, good skating style. And a lot of other guys just don't, but they're still in the NHL. They're still great players. But like, look at Brendan Shanahan skate versus Sergei Fedorov or like Igor Larionov. And Brendan Shanahan is a Hall of Famer. I mean, first ballot, amazing Hall of Famer for multiple reasons. And he's like the only guy with over 600 goals to ever have over 2,000 career penalty minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, you want that guy in your team, but he wasn't a great skater. He just wasn't, you know? So nowadays, even if you're just talking about skating, every player on every team is a phenomenally gorgeous skater. They are so fun to watch. They're just so smooth, and right. some even more so than others. But you don't still have that clunky ass Thomas Holmstrom. Hey, he gets it done. He doesn't look great right. doing it, but he gets it done. Even like Henrik Zetterberg wasn't that strong of a skater.
I would say he was a strong skater. He wasn't an eloquent skater.
Yeah, I guess if what I mean by strong is like to have all the worked on fundamentals with the long stride.
And, yeah, and exactly. Like
but hey, but,
I mean, that just goes to show when you look at guys like McDavid and like just the sheer
guys like McDavid
difference. You're watching a game today that has the best skate. Everyone in the NHL is a fantastic skater, and that dude makes the rest of them look like, you know,
yeah,
just geez, total dog
that'll
shit.
Be a fun one to do. And to like, I got to somehow watch more Oilers games because,
yeah. He's just doing shit that you can't.
I saw. Who did he do that to? Is the newest thing they put on social media. Oh, just McDavid goal. But like they say, oh, he's like against the Hurricanes.
Yeah,
and it's like everyone says, he's like a cheat code. He's a mm-hmm. living, breathing cheat code, and it is. But then again, that's the beauty of team sports because he doesn't just go out and like woefully dominate. I mean, they lose games. He can't really score at will because if he would, he'd score every shift, and they would never lose. So right. you still have to out whatever. And that's a message to those goddamn kids, too. And why defense is important. And the best way to rate defensemen is how well do they do against all these other guys that you're so goddamn, you know, cock hard about. Maybe not them, but.
and that's a good comparison when you think of how good McDavid is to watch, how many highlight reel goals he has. And he still had, granted, he hasn't been around as long. But just the goals per game, he's way below Ovi in that regard.
Right. He's not on that pace. Yeah. And that's because Ovi is a freak. Just yeah, like
absolutely insane.
Gretzky was. And the original all-around freak that left their real mark, I would say, is Gordie Howe. Now, when we talked about this and we picked three players, Gordie Howe, Wayne Gretzky, and Alex Ovechkin, to talk about the link between them, the difference between them, why did we pick those three? There's plenty of other players that you could say were, obviously one that pops out right now is Crosby,
yeah.
right? Because we have an idea, trajectory of where his career is going to end up based off of what he's been able to do. For more years than like McDavid or Dreisaitl, you know, like those guys are good, but I mean, they could have, I don't know, something could happen. There's a lot more hockey for those guys to play, right? So the overall consistency throughout their entire career thing is really, you can't call it yet, not even close.
Right.
So why did we pick Ovi over Crosby when they basically have the same amount of points? Because there is a gigantic, glaring record of Wayne Gretzky's that Ovi is pursuing. And at this point, as most people are agreeing with, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and against whom.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. And while we're away, we wanted to remind you that you can follow Due for a Sharpening on Instagram. And you can also get more information and details about previous episodes on our website at dueforasharpening.com. Finally, the biggest way you can help us out is to leave our podcast a rating on Apple, Spotify, or however you're listening to us, and leave a written review. All of those things help us get more traction and be recommended to other listeners just like you. And now, back to the episode.
He's got 100 yeah, more to go.
He's got, yeah, like 110, 105, something like that.
Okay. I mean, so, he's 37, but look
the way that he's going.
Yeah. Look at the rate at which he scores at 36. And yeah. at 35.
And we've been talking about this recently of, you know, how he scores the majority of his goals, which a lot of them are on the power play. And he, if they don't score on the power play, he'll still stay out there for the full two minutes.
Yeah.
And he doesn't put a lot of extra energy into the play. Like if he needs to back check because there's a random, you know, odd man rush going the other way, he will. If he needs to fight for a puck in the corner to get it back to the D, he will. But otherwise, he is planted in one spot in his office the entire period or the entire power play.
And they can't defend it. They still right. can't.
You know it's coming and you still don't do anything. Like you can't do anything about it.
I've never seen another player who has, I don't know, could you say McDavid is has that type of thing when it comes to just McDavid's individual playmaking ability, that it's the, you know, it's coming, but you still can't do anything about it.
Yes, but for different reasons.
For different reasons, for sure. And we're, for, with Ovi, yeah, we're talking just about his shot from his left wing office, for sure.
Yeah.
But obviously, you don't get to almost 800 goals by just scoring on the power play either. So the guy is an all-around monster of a power forward who, I mean, dude, is that little like chip snapper that he does.
Oh, yeah.
Where the, what I mean by chip, obviously, it's like he doesn't really need a big follow through, and often he can't because he'll shoot it between a defenseman's skates. You know, you can't see the puck, like the goalie can't see the puck, and neither can it's you just, at home. It's I've never seen a shot like his.
I mean, he can get a pass that's like it trickles across the blue line going up to the top of the circle where he's posted up. It will be the slowest pass you've ever seen. Goalie will be totally in place by the time it reaches him. Doesn't matter. It'll still score.
Yeah, because it's just too goddamn hard. It's too hard and too fast. Guys have talked forever about people's shots in the NHL at the most elite level of hockey. And some will say, like, it's kind of hard to describe, but you just know it, why someone has a quick shot or a hard shot, right? You might... like Darren McCarty said, Sergei Fedorov had a quick shot that wasn't necessarily going to surpass like 85, 90 miles an hour, but it was that quickness. I think that comes from the release and when you released it and what you were doing before you released it. It's that
hidden, it's all about the body language and not projecting and telegraphing the shot.
Right. A hard shot would be like Al MacInnis, where you saw him winding up at the point because that's what the whole basis, like Ovi, of the power play was. And he would break a fucking goalie's hand.
Right.
Because his shot was just that hard, but it wasn't necessarily quick. Goalies. Ovi, it's all the rules are just out the window because he's got everything you could talk about. I mean, no one has either a slap shot, a one-timer, a wrist shot, a snapshot like Alex Ovechkin. And it shows with his insane amount of goals that he continues to score regardless of age. 50 goals seems to just be the bellwether for him.
Yeah, it's a standard, which I wanted to bring up a stat. So if you look at how many seasons Ovi has played, this is his 18th season, I believe. Is it really? It's his 18th season. So, yeah, he has scored 50 goals in 9 of those seasons. So half of his career, he scored 50 goals or more. Now, the crazy thing is...
which, by the way, I know ties Mike Bossy for amount of 50-goal seasons.
Which is also tied with Gretzky.
Okay, so they both had that.
Gretzky only scored 9 seasons of 50 goals or more, which is crazy when you know how many goals he scored.
Right. It's hard to say the word only in that sentence, but you know, but the sentiment remains.
So just the sheer level of scoring that Ovi does is in a way akin to the way that Gretzky did. But obviously that's not including Gretzky's assists, which are absolutely out of this world.
Yeah, that's a hard one to even compare.
No one's ever going to pass that. No one's ever going to come even close.
The interesting thing about Ovechkin, too, that shows his dominance in this era, which is, again, why we're picking him to represent what's happening nowadays, would be the amount of time, the amount of years between his first and his most recent 50-goal season. I mean, if he's played 18 years and he's done it 9 times, I would say that it's been fairly recently he scored 50. When was the last time you scored 50?
Last year.
Okay, so there you go. Between the first time you did it and the last, no one else has done that either. I don't think anyone's come close to putting that many years between 50-goal seasons in the NHL.
He had, toward the beginning of his career, he had 3 seasons. It was his 3rd, 4th, and 5th year that he scored 50 goals or more consecutively. And then it was 3 years in between that and the next 2 years in a row that he scored 50. Or no, sorry, 3 years in a row. So he's had 2 3-time consecutive 50-goal seasons in his career. And then there are like a few seasons in between where he doesn't. But it's just such a consistent
amount. So we're saying that he did it at 18 or so, and he did it at 36 or so.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right. So that right there, and getting into Gretzky's consistency, which is also shared by Gordie Howe's consistency, it was very consistent. And that's what it takes to be great. I mean, that's the number one thing, no matter what you are great in at the end of your career, you're not making it into the Hall of Fame unless you are known as a consistent performer. Right. Who did it for, I mean, they say, you know, like walk away from the game gracefully. When you retire, you want to walk away from the game before it walks away from you. Guys usually are going to be able to pull that off.
And that's what Gretzky said.
Like a Chelios.
Right. Well, or a Jager. Yeah. But Gretzky did say that at one point in his career, that he was told it's better to retire when everyone thinks that you still could have played another year or two.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way to say that.
Instead of after the fact being like, yeah, he should have retired 5 years ago. It's like, no, he had a couple years in him left, but, you know,
right.
It's time to go.
And when it comes to like, what's a black eye? What is that? He should have done it a year ago thing on Gretzky's record. It's so light and almost unnoticeable and trivial that we're like grasping at straws as, you know, armchair hockey historians is when he coached.
Yeah,
because for whatever reason, maybe it was because he was coaching the fucking Coyotes, but he was not the greatest. He didn't have a great tiny little coaching stint. But like, how do you own up to that? How do you measure up against your own career and anything else when you're the great one? Right.
Which is the beauty of being the great one. He didn't have to.
No, he didn't have to, but he didn't have to
make up for right. it.
And that's what I mean by grasping at straws. It's like the guy wanted to coach. He gave it a shot. He wasn't very good at it. It's not going to make us forget anything about what he did for the game and to the game and everything. But the consistency with Wayne, we get spoiled when it comes to Wayne Gretzky because of his time with Edmonton. And the numbers were just absolutely off the... God, there's no words for it. There really aren't. Like Wayne Gretzky, if you look at Ovechkin on the ice... And you're on skates and it's like warmups, right? If you looked at Gordie Howe during warmups on skates, because you're on skates, you're going to play against them or with them or whatever. Like they are formidable packages, right? Ovechkin is a Russian farm animal.
Yeah. They were big dudes.
Like you watch him, you watch him like chew gum. And like the fact that he cuts his hair with like a butter knife that he found under the couch, you know, and it's just, yeah, he's an animal, man. And he's just a big dude. And like, so my point is when you see him and you see Gordie Howe, you're like, just by looking at him, you're like, oh man, we could be in trouble here. What was special about Wayne Gretzky could only be seen while he was playing hockey.
Right.
Cause what was it? Like he wasn't big. It's so unassuming, but he absolutely dominated because hockey involves a puck, right? So it was just watch him go to work with that puck. So that in itself is really special. Like, what is it that made Wayne so good? I mean, it's all in his head, right?
Right.
99% of it is mental.
And that's what goes back to it doesn't matter if they were to play in another era. You know, if they were born during that era and they grew up during that era, they still have the same hockey minds and the IQ for the game. So the talent, it would all translate.
The fire in the belly.
Right.
You know, the drive. Yeah, it all translates. You're totally right. So this is more about picking one guy per era that can all be linked like that in some way because of whatever, you know, the times that they played, who was whose favorite player growing up, or even now because Ovi is knocking on Gretzky's door with the goal thing. But Gretzky, like you said, we got spoiled because of his numbers in Edmonton, because when he stopped scoring, you know, over 60 goals a season, everyone's thinking probably, oh, he's on a decline. He was still scoring like over 120 assists per season.
Right.
Well, I mean, how do you, God, if only they could tell the future or look into the past at that time, you would be like, don't, it doesn't matter. Cherish this. We're not going to sound like a bunch of spoiled pricks that have taken this for granted because the guy scores 120 assists a year. still finishes with like 160 points a year. And that's considered him losing a step a bit. And nobody right. except him and Lemieux have ever surpassed 155 as it comes to like Iserman had 155 points in a season. Those two are the only ones to have more than that. And Gretzky mm-hmm. was doing it while he was considered not to have the same step, but they were. They were spoiled because, I mean, what? He won the MVP from like 1980 to 1988. No, 1987. 88 didn't go to him. And then 89, it went back to him.
Right.
So if Wayne Gretzky ended his career, he didn't have to end it with it. It could have been in there wherever. But if he had a 1,370 game pointless streak, he still would have retired a point per game player.
Yeah.
Now, and then, yeah. other players in that era also scored like crazy, right? That's where all those numbers come from. When Iserman had his 155 point season, that was during that time, right? To the chagrin of Blues fans and Brett Hall fans and Brett Hall, I'm sure. What, he scored 86 goals?
Yeah.
Like the same year Gretzky scored fucking 92. I mean, come on, you score 86 and someone's still going to beat you.
That's just not fair.
That's just not fair. But those guys, just because they were playing in an era where that amount of points were possible, does not mean that they still weren't. I'm going to drop the they thing. Brett Hall was amazing, but he was not scoring, 150 assists in a season. Like no. Wayne was. So he was just still head and shoulders above everyone. I said this to you the other day, but I got to say it again because I was watching something and the guy uttered the number. And I thought, I never quite knew what a player getting over 200 points in a season looked like outside of the realm of like Wikipedia, because you mm-hmm. read that and you know it. Oh, Wayne Gretzky scored 215 points in a season. Okay. He scored 200 or more, four times, and he's the only one to do it. But to hear how many games Wayne had played when he reached about 100 points shy of where he'd ultimately end up in his best season is blood halting. Your circulatory system wants to take a nap when you hear that. This dude said it was like game 39. When Wayne Gretzky was 100 points shy of where he was. So that what, like 115 points in 39 games?
Yeah, it's absurd. And yeah, because if you look at that season, it was 215 points in 80 games. So he got over halfway there in half the amount of games. But that's still a super consistent season.
Right. Well, oh my God. Yeah, the season-wise, he's not really taking a break there.
Right.
And then if like you wanted to get into what the way he was like a 40 point getter in playoff runs.
Yeah.
40 points. And that's like in some of the years where they didn't even win the cup. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not entirely sure because, okay, so Gretzky's best season was 215. I think that was the same season he scored 92, but I could be wrong.
No, he had 52 goals that season.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so 92 goals was 81-82. He had 212 points in 80 games. So 120 assists, 92 goals.
Okay, so the 92 goal season, maybe it wasn't, but it had to be the one where he got the 50 goals
in 39 games.
39 games, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so the previous, and Wayne himself said that this was probably the record that would, if you had to pick one, which one wouldn't be broken? It would be that one. And I couldn't agree more. And Evan, even if you've never heard of this, you couldn't agree more either. He scored 50 goals in 39 games. And the previous record was held by Mike Bossy not that long before Gretzky beat it. So sorry, Mike. You don't get to keep that one too long. And Rocky Richard. No, Richard.
Well, Lemieux had it was like 50 in 40.
Well whatever.
42, but
if that happened, that was later.
Yeah.
That happened after this.
Okay.
Right?
So, yeah.
By the way, look that up. Are you sure Lemieux did it that close to Gretzky's shit?
Well, I remember him saying that on a documentary I watched.
We'll look it up. But either way, Rocket Richard scored 50 and 50.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the first player to score 50 in a season. And then he also did it in 50 games. Right. And right. that is regardless of era, that's an incredible stat.
Yeah.
Lemieux did it in 89.
89 games. It took him to score 50. Yep. No, in 89.
50 and under 50 in 1989.
Okay.
For Lemieux.
So it was like 42 games, right?
Move on. I will
He'll find it.
Yeah. Well, whatever, dude. That yeah. We it's all still, know about.
So yeah, it was Mario after Lemieux. Gretzky did it.
So Gretzky was
44th game.
44 games. Okay.
not far behind Wayne, man. God damn.
But that's Lemieux we're talking about. Like the right, only it's other Lemieux, guy but who's that's the same one of the most natural like the goal scorers record. Of all time.
It's like it's like Brett Hall scoring that many goals in a season, and it gets fucking overshadowed because you got this little Wayne dude from Brantford in the league at the same time. So Gretzky was without a doubt the greatest passer in the history of hockey, because if you are on a decline, as they were saying when he was like with the Kings and the Blues,
Rangers,
he finished with the Rangers. Yeah. And you're still scoring over 100 assists a season. I mean, maybe it just goes the other way. So the reason that he had so many goals on Edmonton is because that team was absolutely stacked.
Oh yeah.
Right. Jari Kurri, Mark Messier, Glenn Anderson, Paul Coffey, not only the player caliber, but like every one of those guys would go off and be like a captain on another team, you know, and often they did. But so if Gretzky could set up that many goals, which it seems like regardless of what type of team he was on, he did. Right.
Right.
But they didn't reciprocate. You had to have Gretzky-esque passers to get Gretzky 60, 70, 92 goals in a season, right? So when that dropped off, it didn't mean that Gretzky's ability to give nice passes to other guys who'd score dropped off too.
Right. Like his first season with the Rangers, he only scored 25 goals that year, but he still had 72 assists.
Yeah. And anyone these days would dream of having 72 assists. And maybe it's just come kind of full circle because Gordie Howe's numbers in his era, they kind of seem like today's numbers.
Yeah.
They had like 10 or 12 less games to do it. But Gordie played in the roughest and generally dirtiest area of the three players that we're talking about by far. The Gordie Howe hat trick, as I'm sure we've all heard, which is a goal, an assist, and a fight all within the same game. It's less something that he was like literally known for, because I think the old adage is that he only did that once in his whole career.
Right.
So they're like, well, why is it called the Gordie Howe hat trick? Isn't that funny? It's more of a figurative example of the type of player he was. Because name other players that can get a goal and assist in a fight in the same game in the NHL. That's why they called it a Gordie Howe hat trick.
It's almost like a term of endearment, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you're just in awe of this dude.
Elbows was when all exactly. Everybody played against called him elbows.
Yeah.
He was the first self-enforcing player. So you could also call him like the first power forward. All the other stars at the time were generally smaller. Guys were smaller back then anyway. You ever go to a thrift shop and see like World War II uniforms?
Yeah, they're all like for 5'6" dudes.
Yeah. Those guys
shoes are like size 6'5".
Right. By the way, happy Veterans Day.
Yes.
But yeah, anyone who was like 5'10" in a unit had a nickname like Moose or Bull or Ox or something, you know, and now 5'10" is like a relatively small forward in the NHL. So they all needed someone to enforce for them up until that time. And Gordie Howe was the first guy who could take care of his own business. You didn't need to help him out. He was just an absolute tough son of a bitch who was also on the level of being, you know, within the realm of the scoring leaders every single year. So it's like, put it this way, when the Lady Bing Award is awarded to a player who has the least amount of penalty minutes, it's not just about their lack of penalty minutes. It's about, you know, you're not going to win the Lady Bing unless you play like a good amount of minutes every single game and you're relied upon heavily and you produce very, very well, while also being someone who stays out of the box and who isn't known for shit talking and jiving and not cheap shots and all that stuff. Gordie Howe would never, ever win the Lady Bing Award.
Nope.
This stuff wasn't necessarily punished with penalties when he was a player, but he consistently, you know, had some penalties. But he wasn't necessarily dirty, but in the original Six Era's code of conduct, which was as rough as it could possibly get, you got to remember, if there's six teams, start from goalies up, that means there's, and they didn't have backup goalies in the day either. That means there's six jobs in pro hockey, or that level pro hockey, for goaltenders. Six.
That's crazy.
Which is also why you see shit like, if they take a puck to the mug, stitch me up after, like Russell Crowe after. You are not going to bring yourself out of that game, regardless of how much it's definitely going to screw you up later in life. Like, not much later in life. But they wouldn't take themselves out because these owners, a lot of times, were just heartless dickheads. They really were.
Yeah.
You know, they were like the Shawshank warden. You know, their asshole puckers up tighter than a snare drum the second it comes to. But then they'll be like, you, every piece of garbage that comes out of the market, you got to buy it.
Yeah.
I got a decent price for those boys. So Gordie Howe played within that code of conduct because there weren't a lot of jobs for players. So if you made it, you were going to stay and you're going to do everything possible to stay. And another thing that could make you not stay was how did you handle yourself in that confrontation? They wanted toughness. They wanted blood. Well, if you mix that with Gordie's dedication to his duties on the ice and probably his apprenticeship, so to speak, under Ted Lindsay, that was like the perfect combination for an extremely rough and punishing player. And it got Gordie the nickname Elbows. You know, he did something fairly reprehensible to another player about once per game. I saw that an old ESPN thing. A guy said that. I mean, if only we could have footage of a lot of that stuff. Because who was he playing against? Red Kelly. The first time after Red got traded, they're great friends, right? And Howe goes to check Kelly. And back then, you know, you could like kind of bear hug someone into the boards. And Red hears him in his ear and he goes, hey, Red, how's the wife? You know, with Gordy's soft voice that he had. Red, how's the wife? And Red like almost seriously turned to answer. And the next thing you know is like he plastered his ass in into the cage because they used to have the fencing.
Right. They didn't have glass. Instead
of glass, right? And he would do that once or twice a game. There's a story. We'll get to it. But my point was the consistency with Howe was it was a lot like today's numbers. It took a few years for his career to get rolling. But once he was there, he stayed a top tier performer, scoring a bit over a point per game with goals around the 30 mark and assists around 45. And his penalties couple seasons dip below the 50 minute mark in a 70 game season, but not often. And some they went north of 100 minutes, much like our podcasts. But his longevity and consistency really stick out because he played 32 years as a pro and he was chosen to be an all-star 21 of those years.
Jesus Christ.
21 seasons an all-star, right?
Wow.
That's more seasons than most guys play.
Exactly.
And he was that's crazy.
Yeah. So an example, right? Howe was maybe 10 years in. So this was like 57, I think, because he started in 47. They went to New York, the Red Wings did. And the word was that this dude, Lou Fontanato, was the big bully, tough guy at the time. And
Lou Fontanato.
Yeah, I'm walking here.
Well, Fontanato.
Well, he was about to be walking, you know, down the corridor to the nurse's station. Walking
with crutches.
Walking with crutches, yeah.
Eating his meatball sub to a straw.
So there was a confrontation between Eddie Shack and Red Kelly. Red Kelly was on the Wings, defenseman, and Shack was on the Rangers. So here's a firsthand account from third string, which isn't real. That's what it said on the website. So somebody on the damn Rangers said this. When later in the game, Shaq was in a scrap with Detroit's Red Kelly, Howe joined the fight to help out his teammate. Kelly had put Shaq in his place when Fontanato came looking for him. I don't know who wrote this. I should have read it first because it's runoff sentences and shit. This was one of those little punks at the rink. This is like a book report or something. Fontanato came looking for Red Kelly. He wasted no time in unleashing a fury of punches on Howe. Unfortunately for Fontanato, Howe remained conscious. I love that. That's the mark. Yeah. As long as you're still awake. And was now absolutely incensed. He grabbed Fontanato's sweater and with one hand fired back repeatedly with, or he grabbed his sweater with one hand and fired back repeatedly with the other. Howe connected with his first punch, which stopped Fontanato in his tracks. Howe's arms was arm was described as working like a piston. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah. Just smashing into a blood pudding just over and over again, right? He connected with the first punch, the piston, which was his hand, and the sound of his fist hitting Fontanato's face again and again. This thing is just brutal. I can't believe that I didn't read this first before I copy-pasted it.
You didn't invent this shit at all.
This is awful. Well, you know what's funny is that this is apparently from someone either on the Rangers, and he was a goalie. So maybe
that makes sense.
That makes sense.
It's all the concussions.
A maskless goalie. Or it was a Rangers reporter. And also, you know.
Makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. So where are we? Howe's arm was described as working like a piston, and the sound of his fist hitting Fontanato face. This is what it says. Fontanato face again and again in rapid fire made a permanent impression on those who heard it.
Wow.
As well as on Fontanato's face. So okay, I didn't realize it was leading to that. We're talking about the sound of Gordie Howe's fist slamming into this guy's fucking skull, right? With most descriptions of the blows comparing it to the sound of an axe chopping wood.
Jesus Christ.
Ow.
So if you look at the picture, dude, Fontanato's nose is on his right cheek, just under his eye after Gordy gets done with him. And Fontanato was the new big bad bully on the block who had guaranteed to the papers, that he was going to give old Howe what for. And this was 10 years into Gordy's shindig in the NHL. And after that, nobody had any doubts that Gordy couldn't handle himself and that you just straight up do not fuck with Gordon Howe. So obviously you can't compare Gretzky or Ovechkin to that realm, but you didn't need to because they have people that protect them. And in Ovi's case, it's a mixture of the game not being as violent or needing of those enforcers and a little bit of Ovi being able to protect himself too. It's very much, if you lay out everything we've talked about, he is kind of like a mix between Gordy and Wayne.
Granted, it wasn't, you know, against a guy like Fontanato, but when he absolutely demolished Svechnikov.
Oh, yeah.
In that fight and just knocked him out with one punch.
KO.
Yeah, total KO. So that's, you know, he can stick up for himself.
The guy's huge.
He's a big user
Ovechkin,
unit.
I mean, I think over the years they've clocked him at like over 240 pounds.
Yeah, which for a dude that's like maybe 6'2".
Yeah, and he skates incredibly fast and he finishes his hits. So anyone who doesn't go out for the Ovies because he's too old or something. Like if there's anything that proves that that's bullshit is his remaining relevant to his 37th year in his 18th season or 19th season, whatever he might be in, because he probably is going to pass Wayne Gretzky in goals.
Yeah.
But he's so much more of a treat to watch than just his scoring. But what they certainly all have in common is it's kind of like what they used to say about the Rocket, about Maurice Richard. It was look at his eyes once he has the puck, like within the middle of the circles in the offensive zone. Like it's, they don't even look like the same people because their eyes get that big. Cause they want to score more than anything. Right. Ovechkin is certainly one of those guys. You can't see it because of his reflective goofy Russian visor. I'm glad he got rid of that thing. That thing was absurd. Now it's just
They outlawed it. The NHL actually, they banned it because the goalies couldn't see his eyes and therefore couldn't tell where he was going with the shot.
Well, clearly that was the culprit because he really hasn't scored a lot since they banned
right.
that.
Yeah, it worked out really well.
Yeah, why don't we ban black tape, which he doesn't even use, by the way.
Let's ban hockey sticks. Maybe that'll work.
Yeah, let's just dump it. Hockey's done.
Yeah, hockey's over.
Yeah. So I think we all agree that Ovi can do it. And when you have a blessing from the guy with the current record, all the more power to you. It would be really cool to see him pull that off.
Yeah.
And then it begs the question, like, could it happen again? Can anyone else come along and score with that fervency in the future?
I don't know. I think, you know, we've talked about this before, of just how the game goes in cycles over the years of it's getting so fast and talented now that I think my personal belief is that at some point the game is going to experience new skilled players who slow the game down.
That'd be nice.
Just like, you know, when Datsuk was around, there are other players that are in the league now but aren't quite as prominent compared to the McDavids and the Ovechkins and the Crosbys who will slow the game down, and I think it'll catch on eventually because I think we're kind of at that plateau of how fast
speed
this game can be without being absolutely too dangerous to play.
Right. And, you know, hockey players are creatures of both habit and adaptation. So every time the league comes up with some new finagled way of making more goals happen because of rules, the teams don't take more than like half a season to adapt. And then it just becomes the same damn game it's always been, you know? So, but the one glaring one is that the fucking trapezoid. Can't stand the trapezoid. Please never get liked rid of that. It.
Gary Bettman, if you're listening, which I know you're not.
Which we know you are. Thank you for following us. We love you. See you at home. that trapezoid, they put it in to take goalies who can play the puck well, which is one of the most fascinating and enjoyable parts of the defensive aspects of the
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely.
The goalies who can really move the puck is
you
just
put a puck on a tape from two lines away.
Right. So like you take the trapezoid and you put it in there so he can't play the puck in the corners behind the goal line. Like, are you just punishing players who have good puck handling or teams that have good puck handling goaltenders to even the playing field with like the Jimmy Howards and the Dominic Hasek's of the era? You know, because those two are so comparable.
What sucks is that it actually is more just punishing the goalies, because obviously if you're looking for more goals, you're not having the goalie's best interest at heart because that's the last thing they want.
Right. So screw the goalies.
And yeah, and this is even more in that case where you're saying, not only do we want people to score more on you, we don't even want you to be able to show off your own talents other than stopping a puck.
Right. So screw all the working towards that you've got. And obviously they can still play the puck, but here's what it comes down to is they have the trapezoid. A goalie can't play it in a certain spot, right? So now with the speed of the game, you have two guys racing for like a dead puck in the corner at 30 plus miles an hour.
Right.
Bring in the fact that they're not allowed to ride each other into a hit anymore, which you used to be able to kind of do a bear hug, which was not for the sake of holding, because you're not, if you're holding him into the boards into a hit, you're not hindering him in any way because he doesn't even have the puck, or you know it's going to happen anyway, right? But it's for the other player's safety. You can't do that either. So guys aren't going to take a holding penalty, so they're not going to hold each other. They're going to race to the damn puck. And then one of them is going to fall and break a fucking femur, right?
At least they implemented the icing where, you know, it's
the hybrid icing?
The race to the hash marks. But still, but like still you said,
doing that.
You're still going 30 miles an hour. If you lose an edge,
just race, they don't stop skating.
Right.
And the whistle doesn't go.
And then you get a concussion from slamming into the boards.
Right. The point is, you wouldn't have to race for a dead puck at 30 miles an hour where neither of you are allowed to touch each other if the goalie could go out and play the damn thing. Yeah. So they have implemented like two or three extra rules to make up for the fact that the trapezoid is a dumb, obsolete, ineffectual rule that hasn't altered scoring in any way, because teams just figure out how to play the same brand of hockey regardless of the rule changes.
And the real irony here is that if you took the trapezoid away and goalies could play the puck more, you would almost certainly see more goals scored, because you'd be getting the play up the ice that much faster, catching teams by surprise on bad changes, on odd man rushes, and almost guaranteed you'd see another goal or two a game.
You'd see more shorties. You'd certainly see more goals in 3-on-3
Mm-hmm.
So the shit wouldn't add to the or lead to the shootout, which especially if your team's no good at shootouts, fuck shootouts, dude.
Yeah.
God, like, boring. Like the so lame. Such a dumb way to end a game. But we digress, but not really, because we're talking about will there ever be another Ovi? Don't know, but we know we will be around to watch with bells on and just the same excitement that we've always had for the game. And yeah, so please do some research on the three players we discussed, because they are larger than life. They really are. And yeah, there is a mountains more to discuss yeah about all three of
we
them.
We hardly scratched the surface.
Not at all. Wonderful, wonderful ambassadors to the game of hockey.
Yeah. So go out there and watch as we are witnessing history. So it's pretty cool.
You hear that, teenagers of the Lakeview Arena? You have homework to do.
Do your homework. Wash your shorts, goddammit. Bye, bye, bye.
Coming, Mom.